Welcome to the Wisdom Coalition podcast, designed to show you how to change your mindset so you can find more joy in every aspect of your life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets.
Joy for All Companion Pets provide joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to your aging loved ones and peace of mind for your family.
Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
Special thanks to WFMZ-TV and thank you for listening. I'm Nancy Wertheen.
And I'm Kim Howie. We invite you to experience the life-changing power of joy with us.
Well, very excited to welcome some new listeners in Santa Cruz de la Sierra in Bolivia. Doesn't that sound awesome?
Oh, it sure does.
And then this one's a hard one. Trangsund in Sweden and Moscow in the Russian Federation.
Oh, I'm so glad you gave me the easy ones.
Yes, I did. You owe me.
So hello to Syracuse, New York, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Venice, Florida. And if you want to hear your town, drop us an email and we will mention your town on our podcast. Our email is findyourjoy@thewisdomcoalition.com.
Love our email.
I do too.
It's very good. Well, I have to say, I'm really mad at my husband. Because I woke up this morning and I was so mad at him, and then I realized I was mad at him because of something that he did in a dream. He's like, what the heck?
Oh my God. That happens to me all the time. It drives me absolutely crazy. And I feel like I can't shake those emotions,
yeah,
right? You
carry
them with you all day and you're like, okay, it was a dream.
Right.
Let it go.
You know, and I'm like, I have to just talk to you about this. He's like, I didn't do it.
You're like, well, it felt like you did.
That's right. Well, and sometimes I have recurring dreams and like nightmares, mm-hmm. and I wake up and I'm like, wow, that's weird. And then I fall back asleep and it picks up where it left off.
Oh my gosh, I hate that. Well, and sometimes I even get up and go to the bathroom because I'm like, I really, really want to make sure it doesn't pick up. And then you go back to bed and it still picks up. You're like,
so
I can't believe I got up and just to make that stop, and it didn't stop.
Yeah, so we are all into and excited about dreams today, and that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to unpack the meaning of our dreams and the impact that they do or don't have on our waking lives. Our guest is Dr. Dylan Selterman. He is a senior lecturer at the University of Maryland Department of Psychology, and he's also a dream researcher. He did a TEDx talk about dreams. Thanks so much for being here, Dr. Selterman.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. We literally have been looking forward to talking to you for so long. We're so excited. And we have so many questions we want to ask. But, you know, let's start with, you know, what can we learn from our dreams?
I think there's a lot to learn from our dreams. And I think to your point about the experiences you have where you're dreaming about your significant other, and maybe there's some conflict or negative emotion, and then it spills over into your waking life. This was one of the findings from my dissertation research. And I think one of the more important insights is actually just the fact that we dream about our significant others in the first place and our close friends and family members. And that's one of the things I like to point out about the meaning of our dreams and what we can learn from them is that dreams are very, very social. We don't just dream about random things. And I know sometimes our dreams can be a bit bizarre, but there's a lot of meaning in there, and it usually connects to things that we experience in our daily lives.
Hmm. You know, that is what I figured, because sometimes I have dreams where I'm like, I can kind of like think back to the day and be like, okay, I watched Jaws, so that's why there was like a shark in the conference room. Like, you know, you
right.
can kind of put it together, right? But is it, you know, your understanding from the research that you do that dreams are kind of having a purpose, or that it's just kind of our brains processing everything that went on during the day?
I think it's likely both. I think that our brains do a lot of processing of all the information that we're exposed to, and most of it gets thrown away. Some of it gets kept. Some of it gets integrated into our memories and our motivations for the future. And there's also a lot of functionality there. If part of what we see in the dream research is that there's so much social interactions and we dream about the people that we know and love, that there's probably a functional purpose in terms of helping us to coordinate with other people and to facilitate those interpersonal relationships and to prepare us for future situations that we might encounter. So I do think it is both.
Mm-hmm. So do you think then there's value in writing our dreams down, you know, maybe journaling about what we dream so that we can kind of dig into that a little bit?
There very well might be. I know there is generally some pretty good research showing that journaling in general is a good thing for mental health. And some of the researchers in this space, like Jamie Pennebaker, suggest that if you're wanting to start a journaling practice, you can write about your thoughts and feelings and events throughout the day, and you can also write about your dreams. The idea is to form a kind of coherent sense of what you're going through and what you're experiencing, and that process is cognitively beneficial for us. We tend to see better physical and mental health outcomes for people who are more intentional in coming up with a good story for what they're going through in their lives.
Well, and as a dream researcher, I bet that people are always like, when they meet you, they're probably like, so what does it mean if I dream about a tree, right?
Right.
So is that valid? Like, are there, and I know I've read things like that, if you dream about a certain thing, it means a certain thing. But is that, in your understanding and your research, is that true?
It's a good question. And I would suggest that it's really more about your personal ideas about what those things are. So there's no universal dream interpretation for a tree or a shark or teeth falling out or whatever it is. It does depend on your life experiences and your cognitions about those things. So if you are a dentist, dreaming about teeth is going to have a different meaning for you than for the other average person who's not a dentist. And same thing for a tree. If you're, you know, living out in the woods and had some meaningful experiences, spiritual experiences, maybe the meaning of the tree is going to be different for you than another person. So there is no universal meaning, but rather individual meanings for all of those things.
So in your research, though, did you find that people, you know, tend to change their behavior, you know, like Nancy was saying, you know, you wake up in the morning and you had this dream and maybe there's something that happened in the dream that was disturbing or upsetting to you. Did you find that then people change their behavior throughout the day based on their dreams?
In terms of self-reported behavior, yes. So people tend to report greater conflict with their significant others if they had conflict in their dream the night before. So, and another behavior that changes is people's tendencies toward love and intimacy with their partners, which can be emotional. It can also be physical in terms of affection. That tends to change as a function of physical intimacy or sex in people's dreams with their significant others the night before.
So do you think that dreams are involved in, like, problem solving? Like, could we be sort of trying to work out a issue in our minds while we sleep?
I think there's some evidence for that, yes. And there's some laboratory evidence showing that people actually improve in their performance for cognitive tasks in the laboratory. There's some nice work by Bob Stickold and his lab showing that if you give people a kind of 3D puzzle to solve in the lab and then have some of them take a nap, those who dream about it end up performing better after they wake up. And there's also some evidence that people who are going through, this is from Rosalind Cartwright's research, people who are going through divorce end up with better mental health outcomes if they dream about their ex-partner, even if those dreams are negative. So the idea is there's at least some evidence that going through and simulating those current concerns does have an ultimate benefit.
That's so interesting. Well, so then do you think that we can kind of prime our dreams, you know, by our thoughts prior to going to sleep, if we think about something that we want to dream about?
Yeah, I think there's various ways to be more intentional about our dreams. Of course, the most straightforward way to do this is to cultivate lucid dreaming, which is when you're aware of your dream while you're having your dream. And then it becomes easier to control what's actually in the dream and what you're experiencing. But people can also intend to think about some aspect of their life that is important to them before they go to sleep and try to cultivate that content in their dream. That being said, it's not something that happens very robustly immediately. So there's a kind of upside-down U-shaped curve here where it's more likely to happen either immediately following the event or a week after the event. And so basically people can cultivate their dream content, but it takes a little bit of practice and it doesn't always happen right away.
I want to ask one more question on that, but I have to just really quickly thank our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All companion pets. And as you might recall, we are offering a special coupon code WISDOM15. You'll get 15% off your very own Joy for All companion pet. And these are animatronic, realistic pets that look and feel like real cats and dogs. Go to joyforall.com for more information. So this idea of lucid dreaming, it's so interesting because when we were talking to our sound technician, who's listening, a couple last time we were taping podcasts, and we were talking about that we were doing this on dreams, and he was saying that he can make himself fly in his dream, that he can like control that, and I'd never heard of that, and then you just said this lucid dreaming, so that's something I bet a lot of people would want to kind of work on, like trying to control the direction of their dream. So you're saying that's something you can actually work on?
Yes, and I think there's a lot of good resources out there for how to induce more lucid dreaming, but the main thing that I would suggest to people is to try to cultivate a sense of awareness and mindfulness all throughout the day, to be constantly thinking and questioning, you know, are you in a dream right now? Mm-hmm. And if you can answer that, then you're more likely to kind of trigger that same thought process while you're asleep. And then you'll realize you're in a dream, and then you can induce lucidity that way. Steve LaBerge has written a lot about this. He's got some nice books on it. He's contributed a lot to the literature on lucid dreams and has coined this term, basically mnemonic-induced lucid dreaming, where you're trying to just remind yourself all the time, and that way you'll trigger lucidity. That being said, it's very difficult to do lucid dreaming if you're shortchanged on sleep. So I always tell people the first step is probably making sure your sleep hygiene is good and that you're not constantly tired, and keep a dream journal for that purpose, because if you're not remembering your dreams at all, it's going to be almost impossible to achieve lucidity. So I would say start with the sleep hygiene, make sure you're remembering your dreams, and it'll be easier to induce lucidity that way.
Oh, I love that tip. We're just going to go throughout the day. Am I in a dream right now? This is so awesome. I must be dreaming. You know, I wanted to ask you, I always find it so interesting, like how dreams seem to go on and on and on. Like you think you dream them all night long, but I've had the experience where, you know, you hit the snooze button and only 9 minutes go by, but you feel like you have this, you know, 2-hour dream. How does that work?
Well, time perception in dreams is really tricky, because for some people, it does seem like a lot of time goes by when in actual time measured in minutes, as you said, you know, snooze your alarm clock and it feels like 2 hours have gone by, but it's only 2 minutes. That probably has something to do with our REM sleep cycle, because the REM sleep cycle gets longer the more we sleep. And the longest periods of REM are usually just right before we wake up. And that is when we have the most vivid dreams in terms of movie-like content, where it seems to go on and on forever, and there's lots of rich detail, and it seems like a story rather than just kind of free-floating images. So it probably has something to do with that. And perhaps if your alarm clock is usually waking you up at around the same time, if your circadian rhythm is well adjusted, your mind may be preparing for that and is trying to get you in the mode for things you might experience shortly after your alarm goes off. And sometimes you could have the experience, I've had this myself, where the alarm clock noise gets incorporated into your dream.
Yes.
And then you kind of, you know, try to turn it off in the dream, but it's really trying to wake you up actually out of your sleep. So that could happen as well.
Oh, it's really interesting.
That happens all the time. I'm like, what is that annoying noise in my dream? Make it stop.
So I think it was your TEDx talk, you said that dreams represent this great untapped reservoir of information and insights that we can gain about ourselves, our work, our relationships, and our physical health. And I'm really interested in that part. So, and I know I've seen some speakers who say they've been, you know, learned things about their physical health in their dreams. So tell me more about that. What can our dreams tell us about our physical health?
Well, one thing that comes to mind is a study, it was, I think, done in the early 90s, where they looked at people who were trying to quit smoking, and they found that people who dreamt about smoking cigarettes felt guiltier and thus more likely to keep essentially on their path where they didn't want to relapse and didn't want to smoke anymore. So they were actually less likely to relapse than the people who never dreamt about smoking cigarettes. And so I think that is the kind of thing that shows us how dreams are connected to physical health by way of alerting our minds to what's important and prioritizing the things that are ultimately good for us. And, you know, there's this expression, following your dreams. And I think when we tend to use that in our daily life, we mean it more in terms of our fantasies or our goals. But really, your actual literal dreams while you're asleep can be connected to this.
You know, it's so funny when you said that, Nance. I thought about when I was pregnant with my daughter. I actually learned about it in a dream before I took the pregnancy test. And it was just sort of random. And of course, you know, we were trying, but it was weird. It was so random. I don't know if I ever told you this. It's such a weird story, but a gigantic clown, it was like a 10-foot clown, came to me with these big feet. And he says, "I see you're with child." I was like, "Oh, I think I might be pregnant."
That's really weird.
Yeah, really, really weird. But anyway, sorry. Let me get back on topic.
That's
here.
Okay.
So I'm wondering then, how about people who actually can't remember their dreams? I know a lot of people who say, "I never remember my dreams." Why do you think that is?
So there's a few answers here. As I mentioned before, being shortchanged on sleep is one of the key culprits here. So generally, people don't remember their dreams easily when they are feeling tired and they're not getting enough sleep. That being said, people can be more intentional about it. So we talked earlier about keeping a dream journal. That process actually facilitates memory for dreams. And in my research, some of my participants remarked that they found their memory for dreams was improving even after just a few days doing that. So putting a pad and paper next to your bed or a voice recorder or whatever your preferred device is, that will kind of jog your memory for dreams while you're sleeping. And then, of course, writing them down or recording them immediately after waking up is going to help as well. That being said, there are some personality traits that are associated with the vividness of dreams and memory for dreams. People who have very good visuospatial abilities, including folks like artists or athletes, people who are taking in a lot of sensory information efficiently all the time, tends to have better memory for their dreams and have more vivid dreams. It remains to be seen whether trying to cultivate that skill in life could lead to better memory for dreams, but I think that's at least a reasonable hypothesis, and hopefully future research will look into that.
So what are you researching right now? Like, is there something that you're looking into for the future?
Yeah. One of the studies I'm currently working on is a study on people's dreams during the COVID pandemic. I started this a year and a half ago because a lot of people were reporting that their dreams were kind of going haywire in the first few weeks of lockdowns. And I, you know, was having similar experiences myself. And I thought, oh, this is great. Like, this is a great opportunity for a study. Yeah. So we've been running that. And I hope to collect a little bit more data. So I'm still running the study, still collecting data. And my thinking is that there might be some useful insight into the types of content that people have in their dreams regarding the pandemic and how that might be related to mental health outcomes.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking as you're saying that, it sounds like maybe part of the process of creating our dreams has to do with our emotions, you know, what we're feeling in the moment before we go to sleep or even all day long.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
So we definitely shouldn't ignore our dreams.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Which is an interesting insight because I think most of us kind of do. Like, we wake up and we're like, yeah, that was weird. But then we don't give it a second thought, right?
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it can be really comforting, I think. You know, for me personally, I had a dream a week or so ago that my dad and my dad was in it. And my dad passed away about 3 years ago. And I woke up and it was so comforting. It was like, oh, like he came to visit in my dreams, which was really awesome.
You must find a lot of people fascinated by what you do.
Yeah, it is a great conversation starter at parties. I'll say that much.
That's what I was going to say. I want to run into you at a party. Well, thank you so much. It's really so interesting to talk to you, and you've given us a lot to think about today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ageless Innovation, makers of Joy for All Companion Pets, providing joy, comfort, and interactive companionship to aging loved ones and peace of mind to their families. Go to agelessinnovation.com or joyforall.com for more information.
And until next time, remember, stay connected to your why, fuel your core energy with joy, and live your life from the inside out.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you find some joy today.